Amen. Amen. We didn't come just to have a service. We came to have an experience with God. We came to be touched and spoken to from our God, not just to have another service. Amen. That's down the road. Hallelujah. Just have another service. Just crank them out. That's not what we do here. My name is Pastor Harris. If I didn't already say that, I am the lead pastor. And I just want to say, Happy July, everybody. Can you believe it? July 3rd already. Oh, my, my, my. Life goes quick. The word says it's like a vapor. It's a blink of an eye. Value the time that you have here on earth. Value the time that you have to breathe. Value the time that you have an opportunity to worship the God of heaven here on earth. Because one day, many of us in this room will be worshiping forever with him. And some of us, unfortunately, and people watching, will not be. This is an opportunity. This is a test. God has an opportunity for us this side of heaven to go right into what he wants and to tap into what he has. Okay? Good things, right? America's going through some stuff, but these are great times. Because just like Walmart, there's an opportunity in every aisle, right? In America, everywhere you go, there's an opportunity. Not everybody goes to church anymore, right? They didn't all grow up in church. And a lot of us think that that was better. That wasn't actually better. What you did is, instead of having demons, you had a religious demon for a lot of people. It just isn't a different casing. Just because you attend church does not make you a Christian. Following Christ makes you a Christian. Amen. But here in America, every year we set aside time to remember some very important dates. Dates in our history that should and must be remembered. Arguably, tomorrow is the most important date in our U.S. history. On July 4th, 1776, John Hancock was the first of 56 men from 13 different colonies to sign the Declaration of Independence. The lead author of the Declaration was Thomas Jefferson, who later became our third president. On this day, we officially separated from Great Britain and became our own free nation, the greatest nation in the world. A nation's monuments and national symbols reflect the heart of the people and identify with what they believe is the source of their nation's greatness and their nation's achievements. You know, America is unique. Amen? We know that. It's unique among all of the nations of the world. See, our monuments here in the U.S. have no record of peoples or nations being conquered. They do not have any records of military encounters resulting in the destruction of cities and or empires. America's monuments and symbols contain the declaration that the source of our birth, our liberty, and our greatness is from God. America, at its core and foundation, reveals in every area we are a nation birthed by men who had a firm reliance upon the Almighty God and His Son, Jesus Christ. Our nation's faith in God is inscribed upon our buildings, our monuments, and our national symbols. Then and today, to God the Father we pray, because in God we trust.
Our Father in heaven, giver of all life and author of all things good, we entrust our great nation into your care, for it was you, our good shepherd, whom our founders followed. You are the creator and grantor of our cherished rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, all are forged by your loving grace. Guide our leaders in the paths of righteousness and justice. May their service to our nation be honoring to you, and may their decisions reflect your will. Remind us that true happiness is found only in Christ. Protect our men and women who fight for our freedom. Bless your church to shine and drive out the darkness in our cities. Amen. And remind us that your kingdom is not a red state nor a blue state, Your kingdom is not of this earth. So we plead with you. Bring conviction to our hearts and revival to this land. Send your Holy Spirit to open our hearts and come dwell with your people. Today, we honor our Creator, our Lord, our Father. Thank you for your grace and blessings. May you continue to bless our great nation. We pray to you in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Church, will you stand with me one more time as we say the Pledge of Allegiance to our flag? I'm going to look at the flag here. You're more than welcome to look there or behind me. Ready? I pledge allegiance to our flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which I stand, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Thank you for standing. In case you wonder, that's what we should do. If you disagree with me, talk to my Marine father. Hallelujah. All right. Hoorah. Last month, June, our series was titled Pentecost, Holy Spirit, Come. This month, we're going to mix it up. Holy Spirit, come. We got crazy with it. Amen. Time left. There is no time. Oh, mine says time left over there. Okay. Yours doesn't. Why are we doing that? Because I believe God is not done. I believe he's still moving and there's still something to be said. I believe that God is still speaking to us through these series. And so God has given us 1 Thessalonians 1:5. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit. This is 2020 new. God has new things for us. So in Isaiah 43, the Bible tells us that all these wonderful things God did for his people in the past. It lists all these incredible miracles and events. And then God says, you're getting a little early on me. Don't get too early on me. Thank you. It lists some incredible miracles and events. Then God says, there you go. Isaiah 43, 18 and 19. But forget all that. It is nothing compared to what I'm going to do. For I'm about to do something new. See, I've already begun. Do you not see it? I'll make a pathway through the wilderness. I'll create rivers in the dry wasteland. Praise God. Church, you got to let go of what is familiar to embrace what is next. I'm speaking to my old school Pentecost people that are wanting the fire from the 90s. That's burned out. He's got a fresh fire. The anointing from Azusa Street. God's got a new anointing. You don't put new wine in old wineskins. The Bible says, you ask God, make us a new wineskin so we can handle the new wine. Because if not, it says that we can't even hold the wine. It actually will burst forth and leak all over. But we want to hold the anointing of God. We want what is for us now. I'm going to prophesy for a moment before I preach. You have reached the limit of what you used to be. God is going to do something new in you. Those great things and those horrible things in the past, forget all that. It is nothing compared to what God is going to do. He's making a pathway in your wilderness. He's creating a refreshing, life-giving, restoring rivers in your dry wasteland. Can you not see it? It has already begun. Holy Spirit, come. Amen? Amen. Amen. Thank you, God. Now, church, maybe you've heard these sayings like these. the move of the Holy Spirit, or flowing in the Spirit, or Holy Spirit, He is moving. Have you heard sayings like that? If you have, say amen. Learning how to flow with the Holy Spirit is vital for churches and Christians today. We must understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit, especially when believers come to worship together. John 7, 37 and 30 through 39 says this. On the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood out crying, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. In this passage, Jesus uses terms related to water like thirst and drink and rivers, flowing rivers. But he's not talking about natural water, church. He's not talking about natural rivers. Water is one of the symbols for the Holy Spirit in the Bible. Now, these three verses that I just read show that rivers of living water refer to the Holy Spirit flowing out of the heart of those who believe. The Holy Spirit's ministry is oftentimes similar to the flow of a river. Just like rivers flow, so does the Holy Spirit flow. We can also learn to flow with, and we can learn to flow in the Holy Spirit. Here's the definition of flow. I have two definitions. Definition one says this: to move freely from one place to another in a steady, unbroken stream, an unhindered state of movement. The second one says this: go from one place to another in a steady stream, typically in large numbers. Interesting. Flow means movement. A key part of the definition of flow is movement, and guess what? Rivers move. Rivers are not stagnant. They're not stationary pools of water. Rivers flow. Rivers have movement. In John chapter 7 that I just read, the Bible links the Holy Spirit to a flowing river. Jesus is showing us a moving of the Spirit of God. Not just around us, but moving in us and out of us as well. Now, church, notice this. The river flows out of your heart, not your head. After Jesus' resurrection and then his eventual ascension into heaven, the promise from the Father was completed 10 days later. In the upper room, in the first Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came upon people in the upper room. They came upon him, on them, and around them, all the Christ followers. The power from on high, the promise, the helper, the comforter, the Spirit of truth, God's Holy Spirit was there and is here to stay with all believers until Jesus comes again. Amen? But churches miss it. It's so interesting that so many churches, they preach what Jesus said except for this part. Leave this out. Lots of churches leave this out. I grew up in one. The person and the power of the Holy Spirit needs to be moving in the church today. A healthy church has movement. A healthy church has the river of God. Some ministers and ministries are afraid of excess and or error, so they shut down the movement of God's river in the church. By shutting down God's river in a dry wasteland like the United States of America that we desperately need, we quench the move of the Holy Spirit. We extinguish the move of God. We dry out the nourishment and the health that God wants to provide to his people. Out of fear of false, we oftentimes stop true moves of God. And it's been said before, a lot of times the charismatic circus of the 80s and 90s has stopped so many believers and so many preachers and ministries from actually a genuine move of God. There was real stuff that happened. There's some real shady stuff too. That's for real. For example, shutting down all prophecy because there's a few false prophecies. Or shutting down the flow of healing because a few people didn't get healed. Man, if you were healed last week, raise your hand. Raise it high. You were healed last week. Many, many people were healed last week, but not all people were healed. So we should just stop? Yeah, we should just, you know, it didn't quite work. Tell that to the people who just raised their hand. And where they'd be today if it weren't for last week flowing in God's river, this river of healing. See, what happens when we stop things, we do this, when we go away from what God is doing because we're fearful or there's going to be error or too much excess going on, we block the moving of God. The solution is not shutting down all the movement. The solution is to learn to tell what is God and what is not God. You will know if someone is moving in the flesh or in the spirit, and how do you know it? You know it by their fruits. That's what we also can judge each other with, by the way. You say, oh, you can't judge one another. You're actually supposed to judge believers. You don't hold that condemnation upon them. You don't judge them in that way, but you know them by their fruits, right? Flowing with the Spirit of God requires spiritual sensitivity, which that's developed through an ongoing personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. Just like on Pentecost, I brought up the fact is, do you pray to the Father? One person, praise God. Do you pray to the Father? Because Jesus says, pray to the Father. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, right? He tells us how to pray. So one person, Alan, you're the man, bro. You got to teach all these people. Anybody pray to the Father? Okay, do you pray through Jesus and what he's done? Yes? Then why aren't you praying to the Holy Spirit? Is he less than? Or is he part of the Trinity? I don't see that. I don't understand that. It's like we leave him out because we don't quite understand what's going on. Holy Spirit is not less than. He's not another entity. He says that he's part of the Trinity, all right? Spending regular constant time in God's presence through prayer and through his word will prepare you to move in sensitivity to his flow. You got to be in God's presence. You got to be in prayer. You got to be in the word. And when that happens, you're going to be sensitive to God's flow. But if you're never spending time in God's word and you're never spending time in prayer and you're not spending time in his presence, you're never going to learn how to flow when he flows. It just won't happen. Instead of shutting down all movements, people need to be taught about the genuine move of God and teach what is not God. Pastors, leaders, spiritual fathers and mothers, I'm speaking to you right now. We need to allow movement and teach others what is happening. We need to teach people to recognize the move of the Holy Spirit. And teaching helps people mature, and mature believers can tell the difference between what is and what is not God. Often, people only associate one thing with God moving. We're guilty of this, Pentecostals. If things aren't wild and exciting, then we conclude God is not doing anything. With this mentality, we miss out in God's diversity and all the blessings he has for us. Jesus wants to move. And just like there are different rivers with different strengths and flows, so there is diversity with the Holy Spirit. There are healing anointings, as well as moves of peace and joy and praise and prayer. The move of the Spirit can involve quietness, or it can be loud and exciting. There's not just one way that God moves when his people come together. When when God's presence is in the room, we have to ask ourselves, is God's river present to heal, laugh, shout, sing, kneel, or sit quietly? Not all at the same time. Somebody said all of them. Not all at the same time. That wouldn't be a river. You'll be sensitive to know the answer only when you spend more time in His presence so you recognize His flow. Church, it's one thing to know that God is present. It's another thing to know what He is doing while He's present. Those are two different things. Many people do not know how to recognize the flow of God's Spirit, so they need to be taught. You ready for a quick lesson? Awesome. This side is ready. This side is staring at me. Awesome. So, you ready? You can tell them later. Praise God. Here's a quick lesson. There should be a similar, if not seamless, flow in a corporate church service in what God wants to do. I'm not saying that God can't speak to us all differently at the same time, but what I'm saying is there should be a similar spiritual flow. The pastor is the leader of the whole service. The Word of God is the authority, and the Holy Spirit is who is in charge. Worship, testimonies, prophecies, they should all complement what God is saying, not confuse or dam up what is being said. For example, if a pastor has prayed and prepared a message, a word for the church all week, and it's on purity, but someone wants to come up and give a prophetic word on abundance, that is not a similar spiritual flow. Or if the worship is slow and calm and the word God has for His people is on the unexplainable joy, they're not in the same spiritual flow. They're not in the same spiritual anointing. They feel the Holy Spirit in the room, but they're not flowing with the Holy Spirit in the room together. So if this happens, and it does, we are an imperfect people, right? I stand behind this pulpit to say that I am not perfect. No way. My wife will stand there and tell you that is true. And my sister will say, hey, hey, right? Sometimes this happens where we're not in the same spiritual flow. And when that happens, there can be confusion and or it will dam up the river of God. It'll feel dry. Here's what's happened. What's happened is the spiritual leaders have chosen to follow either a man-made agenda, or the spiritual leaders have chosen to follow an emotional feeling, not the river of God. When God starts to move, we must respond. This is for everyone. What do I mean by respond? Well, it's simple. If the Spirit moves in worship and we all just sit there and look at each other, we're not responding. We felt a little bit that this morning. There's too many people standing at the riverbank this morning. Oh, look at that, right? Oh, that inner tube looks fun, right? Oh, look at that canoe full of people. Look at the boat, that's awesome. It's crazy. Oh, look, I'm sweating and burning, but I could be in the water, but I don't wanna. It's awesome, there it goes. Hey guys, yeah. Hey, get in the water, brother. What do I mean by respond? See, responding means going with what God is doing. Let me say that again. Responding means going with what God is doing. If there's an anointing to praise, then respond with joy and shouting and praise. But it's up to each individual to respond. If we respond, we will enter in the flow or the move of the Spirit, and that brings tremendous blessings. If we don't respond, we are going to miss out on the blessing. I've said this before, don't just spectate, participate. But participate appropriately. If the anointing to pray comes and we decide to keep on praising, we're going a different direction. We're going differently than the flow of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit moves in peace and intimate worship, and we respond with joy and shouting, praise God for his joy! Ah, ah. You know, it's like everybody's calm. You're like, whoa, you got the wrong response. Learn to tell the difference between the move of the Holy Spirit in peace and that of joy. Learn the difference between the spirit of prayer and a healing anointing. Then respond appropriately to what God is doing. Does this make sense, church? I'll do a little teaching this morning. Going a direction that God is not going is like trying to paddle your boat upstream instead of flowing with the direction of the river. Another way to say that is you might be in the river, but you're standing there and you're letting the river just hit you and you haven't submitted to its flow. It'll let you go. You're just standing there like, yeah, I feel the river. It's here. But I ain't gonna move. Here's the key. The key is to recognize what the Spirit is doing and then knowing how to respond. To understand His flow, God's flow, the Spirit of God and how He wants to flow. How you develop that is you have to have a sensitivity to Him. You have to spend time with Him in prayer. You have to develop a close relationship with Him through experience. It's important you come to church together. You have more experiences together when God is moving. And you'll start to recognize things that are happening. Now remember, the pastor is the leader of the whole service. The Word of God is the authority, and the Holy Spirit is who's in charge. Worship, testimonies, prophecies, they should all complement what God is saying, not confuse or dam up what is being said. Responding means going with what God is doing. Church, we need the river of God. We need it. Because rivers are life-giving. The Bible gives many references of water and rivers, but there is one river, say one, church. There's one river that surpasses all other rivers. And that is the river of God. In the book of Revelation, the river of God runs out from God's very presence, out of God's very own authority. And you can find that in Revelation 22, verses 1 and 2. It says, then the angel showed me a river with the water of life, clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. It flowed down the center of the main street. On each side of the river grew a tree of life bearing 12 crops of fruit with fresh crop each month. The leaves were used for medicine to heal the nations. Do you remember last week when I prophesied and preached Ezekiel 47? See how that lines up with, so Old Testament, then you have John stuck on an island without Wilson. Get that joke? Okay, some of y'all got that joke. Stuck on an island, getting a vision from God himself about this. And two things are very, very similar. Actually, many things are similar in this. But notice that last part, that when God's river comes, that there's not only fruit, but the leaves that we usually don't use for much of anything, unless you're in the woods and you use it for something else if you have to go to the bathroom. But the leaves of God's trees, okay, you got that. You didn't get the other one. Okay. My goodness. All the people have been camping before. Praise God. But even the leaves of what God does can heal nations, heal people groups. It's incredible. The river of life in Revelation represents God's life-giving presence. The river with the water of life flows from the throne of God, which is God's ultimate authority. And from the Lamb, which is Jesus, and he's the access point because of his sacrifice. God's river does some amazing things. I just wrote 5 things down. It does way more than this. But the river of God revives everything it touches. When you're touched by God's Spirit, you are revived. Something is revived in you. God's river will bring freshness, even the dead spots of your life. You can feel dry, you can feel dead, you can feel terrible, and God's presence touches you, and all of a sudden you are refreshed. You can't explain it. It's the way it works. Where the river flows, everything will live. There's no death in God's river. The river will bring fruitfulness and healing. And the last one I wrote down was God's river has the medicine to heal nations. Tomorrow, we celebrate our nation. And every day, we should celebrate God's river, which can heal our nation. It can heal nations. It has healed nations. When you're flowing in God's river, it doesn't just restore you. We're very good at that in America. It's always about us, right? Very self-focused. It's God's kingdom is completely upside down with everything you've been taught as a child or in this culture. Because God's kingdom is an upside down kingdom. It's not about you, it's about his glory. And how do you honor his glory? By serving everyone else, not yourself. You know what you do with yourself? You get on a cross and you crucify it. That's what you do with self, according to God. But God is so good that not only does he love everyone around us and he receives the glory, but he also revives and restores us as well. His love never fails. But flowing in God's river doesn't just restore us. It does restore us, but it doesn't just stay there. God's river restores our homes and it restores our cities. Isaiah, an awesome prophet. If you haven't read Isaiah lately, read it. It's incredible. Isaiah 58, 11, and 12 says, "The Lord will guide you continually, giving you water when you are dry and restoring your strength. You'll be like a well-watered garden, like an ever-flowing spring." This is what's powerful. "Some of you will rebuild the deserted ruins of your cities. Then you will be known as a rebuilder of walls and a restorer of homes." When God's river comes upon you and you are refreshed, rebuilt, and you are strengthened. I just was thinking about this last night when I was studying late last night and praying that it's not just about God's river. It's about what God's river does to us. And then when God's river does things to us, see, Old Testament and New Testament constantly line up, right? Jesus didn't come to abolish, he came to fulfill. So it comes together all the time. And right here we see that God is going to be the provider of the water. God's going to be the provider of restoring our strength. God's going to be the one that restores that. And when that happens, it's like we're a well-watered garden. What happens in a well-watered garden? Fruit happens. Vegetables happen. There is produce. There's things that happen. And then it's like an ever-flowing spring. And Jesus tells us, when you're filled with God's presence and his spirit, rivers of living water will come from your heart. And when that happens, what happens? The last verse. What's going to happen is you're going to now be called people who rebuild walls. What are walls? Protection. They keep the enemy out and keep people safe in. Wherever you go, you're going to be full of God's presence and power, and people will feel safe around you. Remember Father's Day? We talked about that. Men, that's what we're called to do. And then not only that, you're going to be a restorer of your home because you're bringing God's presence, his water, his refreshment, his love, his strength. You're going to bring God's very presence into your home. And when God's river comes, everything it touches is revived. Amen? But church, maybe you feel like right now that life is parched and dry. You have very little excitement or joy. And the problems and the pressures you face, they cripple you. Your relationship with people drain you rather than fulfill you. There's people in here that life doesn't seem worthwhile. And God seems so far. You say, life is so dry. Church, all that is stagnant, stale, and lifeless in you can be brought back to a fresh and vibrant state by the mighty river of the Holy Spirit. I've been there. I've been there. I remember, and you've heard the story before, when I felt like the call of God was not in my life, I didn't even go to church. I was so hurt by church people, right? It's so unfortunate that we get hurt by church people, so then we turn it back on God when God didn't do it as people. But you don't do that at work when you get hurt by work. You don't, like, go to your boss and say, forget this company, I hate everybody here. No, it's the guy that did it that's wrong, right? So the people in church, whoever did that to you, it's their wrong. It's not the whole church, right? It's not like the whole company it did something to you. It's the person in the company that did it to you. That's for somebody to set them free today, because I was there and I thought that all church people are terrible. I hated church and I hated God, and how could God's people treat me this way? That must be what God is about. How ignorant. That is not the truth. It's the person who's broken just like me that hurt me. But the fact of the matter was, I didn't go to church, and I didn't want to be a part of it. My wife went by herself. She was a Sunday widow, and I wasn't going. Until she finally talked me into it, and oh, I guess I'll go, right? Mind you, I was just a pastor before that, a youth pastor. But it was another time I got hurt. And then the river of God met me in that church, 400 people in that house. And the guy's preaching, and he calls out, and he points to me, and he says, you, in the blue shirt, right? And I'm like, that ain't me. I'm wearing blue. It's dark blue. Yeah, you, the dark blue. Right? And then he just reads my mail. He prophesies exactly against everything the devil told me and everything that that person spoke against me. And he revived me in an instant, and I was messed up. And he had the audacity to go back preaching when I was a hot mess in the back. How dare you? Right? I mean, I was falling apart, but that God would speak to me at that very moment, at that very hour, in a crowd of people, that he loved me enough that he found me exactly what I was saying in my heart and in my head, and denying all things that God had. And he says, no, you have a call, and the things that were spoken over you are wrong, and God loves you, and he wants you to serve him. And I'm just like, what? And I just fell apart. But that's what happens when God's river comes. It revives all dead things. That was like 13 years ago. That was 13 years ago, but I want more, God. I want more. I'm not just satisfied with that. I'm thankful for it, but I ain't satisfied by it. I'm still thirsty. Let me drink, God. There's people in here today. You're thirsty. He's got everlasting water. It never runs out. You're the one who's parched, but man, when the mighty river of God comes, everything lifeless, stagnant, and stale will come back to a fresh and vibrant state in your life. But here's the fact. You're the one who has to submit to its flow. Let me read you something that happened to Jesus, God's one and only Son, his begotten Son, full of the Holy Ghost. The one that everywhere he went, man, there was miracles, signs, and wonders. That if he said something, it happened. There was never a time. But something happened, very peculiar. And I want to read it to you in Mark chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. It says this: Jesus left the part of the country and returned with his disciples to Nazareth. That was his hometown. The next Sabbath, he began teaching in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. They asked, where did he get all this wisdom and power to perform such miracles? It's a great question. Well, this is what happened. Verse 3. Then they scoffed. He's just a carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon. And his sisters live right here among us. They were deeply offended and refused to believe in him. Then Jesus told them, a prophet is honored everywhere except in his own hometown and among his relatives and his own family. And because of their unbelief, he couldn't do any miracles. Because of their own belief, Jesus, the Son of the living God, couldn't do any miracles among them except to place his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And this is what it says: and he, Jesus, was amazed at their unbelief. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, could not do what he wanted to do in Nazareth. You can take that off. Everybody's looking at that instead of me. Thank you. Just coaching? Get it done? Okay. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, could not do what he wanted to do in Nazareth. Why? Because the people were blocking the flow. The Holy Spirit's movement was blocked by the people's response of unbelief. Their unbelief was blocking the moving of the river of God. So maybe you sit in a church service like last week. Or maybe you sit in a church service like this one and you don't understand the flow of God's Spirit. Maybe you don't understand it because you haven't spent time in His Word and you haven't prayed to Him lately. Or maybe it's because you don't believe in God's movement. You doubt what God wants to do when His people gather to worship Him. You are full of unbelief. Church, I think we've made being a Christian a complicated thing. We've made walking in the Spirit a strange thing. And we've made being filled with God's Spirit a hidden thing. And that's totally, utterly unheard of, insane to think of, because this is completely foreign to the entire New Testament. Jesus needed the supernatural to do the supernatural. Think about that. So why wouldn't we? Jesus needed the Spirit of God to lead him, fill him, and flow out of him to do the miracles, signs, and wonders that he did. So why don't we? Oh, God, change my situation. Well, you're full of a bunch of unbelief. You're not full of the Spirit. But if you were full of God's Spirit and you jumped in his river and you felt his presence and you spent time in your word and you spent time praying, you're going to get different results. That's the way that it works. That's the way the kingdom of God works. Where God is, there will be signs, wonders, and miracles. Where God is, there'll be refreshment. There'll be rejuvenation. There'll be restoration. Where God is and His Spirit is moving, He'll give you a word of life and power and love. It'll change you for all of eternity. And not only change you, we read about it, it also heals cities and it will heal your home. We are the local church. We are to be the center of the manifestation of God's glory. We are to be about the supernatural, not the superficial. If all you do is come to God because you want blessed, you don't know Jesus. You do not know Jesus. That is not the heart of God. If it's all about your own gain, you have no idea what the kingdom of God is about. And I beg the question, are you even a Christian? Because Christians follow Christ, and that's not what Jesus was about. He didn't gather crowds to worship him and all about him. He served. He came to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. If you want to know what your life is supposed to be about, it's to not to be served, but to serve and to give your life as a ransom for many. That's what it means to follow Jesus. And what's super awesome is you can do it in an incredible way that will blow you away every single day if you're filled with the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. Man, I've seen some amazing things that even shocked me. I've prayed for people and I saw a miracle in front of my eyes. And I said right after, and I'm gonna own it for a second. I said, really? It's like, man, where's my faith? And I have faith, but what? Right? I'm not lying. It happened. It happened at work in a hallway, actually in the stairwell. And she's like, do you feel that? And I was like, no. God's hand is moving things in my body. And called me later and COPD actually reversed in her life and her lungs got better and her hips didn't hurt for the first time in years and all these miracles happened. And all I did was lay hands out of faith and say a simple prayer that Jesus stripes you are healed, and we came together in faith, and it happened. And she said, do you feel it? And I'm like, no. And she told me all the things that happened, and I walked away, and no joke, I walked away, I was like, what? That is amazing. That's amazing, right? That was the first time I saw in my life, this is many years ago, 15 years ago or so, that something happened. But what it did is it didn't only build her faith, it built my faith. Because I stepped out and I said, God, use me. I want to be filled with you so I can see things happen. And I was in my word. I was in his presence. I was going to an awesome, powerful church that allowed God to move. And I was learning things, not only in church, but on my own. And I was in Bible studies and I was doing all these things. But I didn't quite know it until I knew it. And when I knew it, I'll never not know it again. Amen. I know when God is moving, and I know when he's not, and I know when there's unbelief, and we felt it today, the resistance because of the unbelief, and people bringing in baggage. But guess what? God says there's a baggage claim here. You got to bring your baggage and let him check it and send it somewhere else. Amen. Altar is a great place for a baggage claim. Hallelujah. I love when God works with my personality and his spirit, because that was totally me right there, and him. It was awesome. Praise God. It's a little bit funny, and it's very applicable. Oh, praise God. Man, we are the church. And we're called to be disciplined and discipled and trained. Not only in our own strength and intelligence, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. Some of y'all got to get out of your heads. You haven't seen anything refreshing in your life because all it is head knowledge all the time. Head knowledge, head knowledge, head knowledge, head. Boring. You're missing out on the spirit. You got to have spirit and truth. If all you are is truth, you are boring and you are dry. You got to have some spirit. But if all you are is spirit, you're going to be a crazy person that nobody's going to want to be around, because who knows what the next thing you're going to say or do is. There's nothing grounded in the word. Spirit and truth. 1 Thessalonians says 1:5, for our gospel did not come to you in word only, which means it came to you in word, but not only in word, but also in power and the Holy Spirit. That's how the gospel needs to come to people, especially in America, a dry wasteland. Our faith church should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Our faith will be refreshed, cleansed, and rejuvenated in the flow of God's river. Now, there's something I know about water. It's wet. That's nice. I had an argument. Never mind. You got me distracted. That was a rabbit, and I was going down that hole right there. Alice, you go down. I'm not going with you. There's something I know about water. Water flows wherever there is the least amount of resistance. Chew on that. Something I know about water. I was born and raised in Oregon. I definitely know about water. Rains all the time. Water flows wherever there is the least amount of resistance. And God's river wants to flow in and through your life, if you'll submit to his flow. You spend time with him in his word and in prayer, he will flow through your belief and your trust in him. And this is what's going to happen, church. Look at me. You're going to hear from God. You will hear from God. You will feel God, and you will flow with God. That's what's going to happen when you submit to his river. So let your heart be the path of least resistance, and rivers of living water will flow from it. Jesus prophesied it. And whenever he prophesied, it always came true. Let's submit ourselves to the flow of the river of God and watch what our God will do. Do you not see it? It has already begun. Holy Spirit, come. Amen. Worship team, will you come? my paper I wrote Holy Spirit time and prayer. So that's me listening to what God wants to do. Sometimes it's easier to hear from God, and sometimes it's harder to hear from God. But one thing I do know is He is speaking. Like the prophet said, it's not in the earthquake or the fire or this crazy wind. It was in like this little breeze, this little whisper. And Jesus speaks to us. So don't always expect that when God is speaking, it's going to be like a fire or an earthquake. Doesn't mean it won't. It can be. I've been there. Sometimes it's a whisper. And God is speaking to all of us right now, because God's river is flowing. He wants you to feel His presence, know His presence, be in His presence. And He wants rivers of living water to flow out of you. And what's the purpose of that? What would be the purpose of living water to flow out of you? Oh, come on now, somebody preaching. Going somewhere else, you get nourished wherever you go. What's another reason why the rivers of living water would need to flow out of you? Reach other people, right? Healing, ministry. What's another reason? Why would God say that get filled up with His presence and His power? Because it referenced to the Holy Spirit who was going to come right after Jesus was glorified or ascended to heaven. And He said, the promise of my Father is coming. He's going to give you another. It's better that I go so that way you can have this. And then the Spirit of God came upon. There was 500. This will preach you. There was 500 in the beginning. But when the Spirit of God came 10 days later, the ones that tarried or waited or earnestly was seeking after it, there's only 120. That means 380, right, were gone. 380 out of the 500 couldn't wait because they had something more important to do than the power and the presence of God. And we still see that today in churches. There's a lower number of the ones that want it, but there was 120. So why would God's presence come upon us and that we'd be so filled that it's not only in us, for us, it's rivers of living water out of us? It's another reason. Inspire. Bring in new people. What'd you say, Jay? Make room for new. Amen. Manifest the image of Christ in you. Amen. Serve the gospel. Spread the gospel. Right back there, buddy. Say it louder. To heal other people. Amen. Brother Bob, what's up, dude? You can't have a harvest without any rain. Somebody preaching. Come on now. That's exactly right. All things die without water. Fulfillment of Isaiah 61, which is what? For the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to cast out demons. Amen. I've said that before. Amen. That's exactly right. Jesus even prophesied that. He even said it. God's Spirit wants to move in here. Don't stand on the riverbank, church. Don't stand at the riverbank. God's Spirit is moving. Spend time with Him before you come in. And there are 6 days. You don't have to wait to be in His presence. 6 more days you can be in His presence. It just makes it pretty awesome when your stream and my stream and that stream and that stream and that stream all come together and God's Spirit comes like a river, like the mighty Mississippi, or the Tigris, Euphrates, the Congo, right? Some mighty, incredible river. And when that happens, people will come in and they'll get wet. Whew, what is going on in this place? What? Hold on a second. Like people leaving and God's Spirit is upon you. You're like, hey, you need something? I got it for you. God just told me you need prayer. God just told me you need $50. God just told me you need this certificate. God just told me there's something wrong with your car and I know a mechanic. I'm going to take it there. I'm going to fix it. I'm going to pay to fix it or whatever God's saying. Or God's got a word for you. I want to speak to your family. Or I want to pray for you. Or is there sickness upon you right now by the power and stripes of Jesus? I just pray for that healing touch to be upon you right now. Whatever it is, when the river of God is flowing out of you, everybody around you gets wet. And when God's river touches somebody, there is life. There is refreshment. There is rejuvenation. There is restoration. And there is produce. Amen, amen. Amen. Just listen to what God wants to do. Church, will you stand with me? I'm just going to pray that we be more sensitive to His flow. Amen. I just feel like God wants me to give you another teaching real quick, another example of what I've learned in my time. I don't have it all together. I don't always hit it right, but I want to give you my wisdom, because if I can give you my wisdom and then you can take it and you can apply it to your life, you become more mature as a believer. And when you're more mature as a believer, like I just preached, you're going to recognize the flow of the Spirit of God better, easier, quicker. So here's another thing. How do I know it's God and not me? How do I know I just didn't eat something, or I'm not just feeling something, or I just like the music, or I just like the Spirit moving? How do I know it's me, or how do I know it's God? Here's the way that I explain it. And God speaks to people in different ways. It's not always audible. You don't always hear, "Thus saysest me, I say, blah, blah." You know, sometimes it is, but not very often do you hear that. Some people get it that way. This is the way that it works for me. And maybe it'll work for you this way. The way I know it's God and not me is this. If I'm going about my day or something's going on, and I know my personality, I live with myself every day, if I like it or not. I know how I think, I know what I do, I know all these things, and sometimes I disgust myself, but it is what it is. But, why are you laughing about that? Okay. Sometimes you disgust me too, that's me. That's just me. If I'm going about my day and I'm just thinking about my everyday things, let's just give me an easy example. I'm walking in Hy-Vee, or I'm walking in a store, and I'm doing something, and I'm just thinking about the list I got, or the things I'm doing, or the stuff I got to do the laundry later, or whatever. I'm just thinking about these things. And then I get this unctuous thought or whatever, and this person walks by and God says, "Pray for them." That is literally nothing I'm thinking about. It's nothing I'm doing. It's not my train of thought. That's how I know this is not me, this is God. It's like a total left turn, right? I'm going like this, and all of a sudden I hit His river, and I gotta go down that river, or I just get a little boat and go across and forget about it, and I miss out on His river. So there's times that I'm like, da-da-da-da-da, okay, Lord. And I just be obedient. And the more times you do things like that, I feel it, something in me, like my heart all of a sudden just gets overwhelmed, like, I feel for them. I don't even know that person, but I feel something about them, right? And I'm like, "Ooh, that's God, that's not me." Or I think something, all of a sudden I have this thought, right? Sometimes it's a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom. Knowledge is what they're going through right now. Wisdom is what they should do later, right? God maybe wants to speak through me as a vessel to them. And I've gone up to people before and said, "Hey, I know you don't know me, but God just told me that something's going wrong with your family. And He wants me to come to you and tell you that He loves you and that He wants you to turn to Him because He wants to heal your family." I'm telling you, people just fall apart. But I'm going through my day and then whoop, I come into God's river. I get on the riverbank and I have a choice. Do I go down the river or do I get a boat and just go across and keep on trucking? You choose to respond. But let me tell you, when you go on that river, it's going to take you for a ride because there's some rapids and everything. And it gets all crazy and fun, and it's wonderful. It'll change your life. Amen? I'm going to pray over you. If you want to receive that God will just make you more sensitive to His flow, just extend your hands to heaven as just a sign. It's a physical sign of surrender. It's also a physical sign to receive. Or you can put your hands out like as if you're going to get something from God. And I just want to do that before we leave. Father in heaven, we thank You. You are worthy to be praised. Thank You for Your Son, Jesus. Jesus. Thank You for dying on the cross for us. Thank You for coming and being here for us, God. That 2,000 years ago, You didn't just die for the ones alive. You died for every single one after. And that is me and that is them. I thank You for Your sacrifice. And I thank You that You said that You had to ascend to heaven so You'd send another. Holy Spirit, I thank You that You are the presence of the living God here on earth right now until the second coming of Christ. I thank You that right now that You're going to flow in a mighty way. And we just pray for your river to flow in this place upon us and everyone who hears this word. If it's now or later, or it's many, many years from later, or whatever, whoever's watching this recording, if they're going to extend their hands and just receive, I pray that from the tippy top of our fingers to the soles of our feet, all the way up to our head, I pray for the presence and the power of God. Make us more sensitive to what you want to do and what you're saying. I pray that when we read your word, reveal it to us. You're the teacher of God's word. Holy Spirit, may you speak to us and give us wisdom beyond our years. I pray for the times that you interrupt with your flow, God, that we'll be able to ride on your river for a moment and that we'll be able to get on there, God, because you want us to do something. I pray for the inklings, the thoughts, the presence and the power and the unctions and whatever it is that you do upon us, we be more sensitive to that's you and not us, and that we're supposed to do something and step out of the boat in faith and to go and do that, God. I thank you right now that these people want to receive, and may you fill them. It says if we ask in Jesus' name, we will receive. So we ask this in Jesus' name because we want to receive. And God, may it not be for our glory. No. It is not about us. It's nothing special about me. It's the one inside of me. It's the ones that you love. Use us because you love other people. Use us because you want to see other people free. Use us because you love us and called us children of the Most High. Use us because we already know what it's like. And I pray that in this place, even every time we meet together, Wednesday, Sunday, downstairs, wherever, God, that your presence will flow in a mighty, mighty way. Let your river flow, God. Holy Spirit, we ask, come in Jesus' name. If you believe it, say amen. Amen. Love you, church.